Welcome back to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with David Vance Like and Zach Cointink of Syracuse University. Zach, this one's for you. And DoD's acquisition workforce makes a vital contribution to national security, which Dave mentioned earlier, but it must negotiate a complex web of rules. And I'm interested to understand, and your report does a wonderful job of highlighting this, what has DoD's leaders done to reduce unproductive processes and the bureaucracy as a key initiative across all three versions of better buying power? Progress has been made, but what more do you guys think needs to be done?
Beginning with Better Buying Power 1.0 and in ensuing versions, DoD, both as an enterprise and at that service and component level, initiated a set of reviews to look at whether we have the right players overseeing the process in the right way, whether we have the right reports, the right paperwork, the right mechanisms by which to get insight into a program. Do we have too much? Do we have too little? Do we have the right kinds of things? Or do we have the wrong kinds of things? Now, that work will, of course, remain ongoing for, I think, quite a while, both with respect to better buying power and with recent legislation. The House Armed Services Committee under Congressman Thornberry and the Senate Armed Services Committee under Senator McCain have really taken a serious look at this and, I think, expressed a credible commitment to trying to revisit this process and on a slow but sure basis to try to scale back some of that thicket that the doers or the executors have sort of found themselves in.
So what are some of the challenges in tackling the acquisition bureaucracy within DoD?
Sure, good question. So in our report, we looked at a particular component of the Reduce Unproductive Processes and Bureaucracy Initiative. We looked at clarifying that acquisition chain of command. There's a push on the Hill and within sort of the subject matter expert community that looks at national defense to revisit Goldwater Nichols to see what parts have really worked and what parts really haven't and could potentially be revisited. Now, the debate going forward is really, is that the right chain of command? Are there some other players who ought to be involved? And one issue that is not within the confines of better buying power, but which has been sort of a point of contention between the defense acquisition community, particularly the senior leadership, and members of the Congress, is how do we involve the military service chiefs more? They're effectively divorced on account of the Goldwater Nichols legislation and the pieces of the Packard report that were built into it. They're effectively divorced from that little A acquisition process. As that process unfolds, they have less and less influence over how the program sort of takes shape. However, to the extent a program takes shape in a bad way, if it unfolds and effectively becomes a train wreck, the person who's hauled in front of the committee is usually that service chief. I'm simplifying a bit, but there are at least two sort of major solutions to this. One is what you might think of as an informal solution, taking some steps or doing some things to try to get that service chief and their staff inserted into the little A acquisition process on a more concerted basis, motivating them to remain engaged in lieu of stepping back after that process has effectively started. Because there are some opportunities for the service chief and their staff to remain involved. It's sort of a question of what their own management priorities are. Or the second option or approach, which you could think of as the formal approach, is to pass legislation that effectively gives that service chief authority that is otherwise invested in those other players in that formal acquisition chain of command. To sum up, the real challenge in terms of, in particular, clarifying and maintaining that chain of command is getting the right people involved in the right way.
So, Dave, to accomplish its mission, DoD relies on a large, multifaceted portfolio of contract-provided support services. How has the department sought to improve its acquisition of services as part of the Better Buying Power Initiative? And what actions have been introduced today to improve service acquisitions?
So, you know, that's a really good question, Michael. And under Better Buying Power, there have been actions taken to improve tradecraft in services acquisition. And I think that's a major step forward and an important evolution from versions 1.0 forward. And they've ranged from relatively easily implemented adjustments in the department's management structure, to building things like an enterprise-level approach or taxonomy for being able to track services contract spending. So there have been any number of reports that have come out that often talk about the lack of kind of business acumen and market-based knowledge and engagement on the analytical side among the acquisition workforce. And so here it's thinking about, you know, how do we make smarter use of competition? How do we employ more effective source selection techniques? How do we think about contract type as different tools at our disposal and not simply one tool that we default to all the time? So again, analytically getting the acquisition workforce to put multiple of these tools in combination with one another, thinking about what they want to do, how they want to do it, the time period under which they need to do it, and whether there are specialized conditionalities that they have to account for. Now these latter changes are going to take a little bit more time to diffuse down into the agency culture. It's going to require training, more education, and to extent, as I said, the word here is it's gonna have to change the prevailing culture that really undergirds the acquisition enterprise. And I think, as you can see in our report, that was an important evolution in BBP, Better Buying Power, between version 1.0 and 2.0. And it's clear in version 3.0 that the broader community is, especially at the industry level, is being heard about, okay, if you want to engage us, here are some ways to think about engaging us. It's not this kind of one-size-fits-all approach in every situation.
So, gentlemen, before we get into the lessons that you outline or the recommendations that you make in your report, I have a question for both of you. And it really gets to the heart of it. Are these initiatives living up to their promise of moving defense acquisition beyond business as usual?
This is a hard question to – it's a fundamental question in some sense, but it's also a hard question to answer in an aggregate sense for a variety of reasons. Obviously, Better Buying Power itself is a big, multifaceted, multi-version change program. There are a variety of initiatives underlying it, and underlying each initiative are a number of individual action items. And I think to gauge success, you really have to get down to that granular level and measure what's going on by an item-by-item and initiative-by-initiative basis. In some sense, it's just far too complex to make a sort of grand or sweeping judgment about better buying power writ large. And insofar as the initiative can be measured, the success of better buying power can be measured on an initiative by initiative or action item by action item basis, that definition of success is really going to vary. And moreover, what does success look like on an initiative or even an action item by action item basis? To return to our earlier conversation regarding contract types, of course, just tracking the application of a particular desired contract type across space or across time, that's in no way in and of itself a valid gauge of whether we're really improving our performance or not improving our performance. But for the sake of argument, say that as a component of success, we wanted to look at, again, the application of that type over time and over space. The problem is, again, as Dave suggested earlier, and as the DoD leadership continuously points out, DoD uses a variety of contract types for a reason, because a given contract type does not befit every circumstance. So to simply stick a stake in the ground and say in the past we were using these types, we're gauging success by the fact that going forward we're using this particular type exclusively or much more often, that's not really valid. That's not really a means of gauging success, because some of this boils down to judgment. And good judgment is going to be manifest in the application of different practices under different sets of circumstances and not in the consistent application of a practice regardless of the circumstances.
And this would be an example, Michael, where, you know, even once a particular approach or a practice is adopted, that doesn't guarantee success in terms of cost or schedule and performance. I mean, that goes back to the point we were trying to make earlier. These outcomes are hard to control. And to the extent that there's a positive link, you know, we have to do what we should always do, which is we have to ask about the counterfactual. Would this have happened, you know, had this practice not been applied? And, you know, perhaps things would have turned out worse, but perhaps the status quo would have remained. So the question is the intervention driving the improved outcomes? And, you know, establishing this kind of causal link is very, very difficult in a system as complex and as dynamic as defense acquisition. But that's part of what we were trying to do here is, you know, at least at some level, think about how the department, you know, they are enjoying some success in embedding some of these practices and approaches, such as should cost, for example. But are these the initiatives that are bringing about meaningful change? And you know, when you think about this, leadership gets some real credit here. There's been some real continuity in having Secretary Carter and Undersecretary Kendall continue to have leadership roles within the agency that have gone far beyond the kind of normal, you know, 24-month tenure of a traditional political appointee. So their leadership, their expertise, their legitimacy, their ownership of this has given it some momentum. The question is, can that momentum be sustained? You know, and those associated improvements in performance outcomes, can they become more formalized, standardized, and embedded within a changed culture of the agency? I think that's what we want to continue looking at.
What can federal agencies learn from DoD's Better Buying Power initiatives? We will explore this question and so much more when our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.